This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Padres Roundtable is on the air.
Unbelievable!
It's time to discuss everything going on with the Padres. The 97.3 The Fan crew is here for the most in-depth discussion on the Friars in our weekly Padres Roundtable, delivered by San Diego Roundtable Pizza. And now, here's your host, Ben Higgins.
All right, welcome in, everybody. It is time for our roundtable, our 97.3 The Fan hosts all together to talk about the Padres commercial-free, and it is brought to you each and every week by San Diego Roundtable Pizza. It really is pizza royalty. This show could have had a very dark, dark tone if not for the past couple of days with the Padres getting wins over the Giants, pulling within a game of the Dodgers. But as I introduce our panel with Matt Scraby,
hello,
Paul Reindel, Braden Suprenant.
What's up?
Chris Ello and myself. Let's go back to the weekend against the Los Angeles Dodgers and start our discussion there. And Chris, I'll start with you today. Where in your mind do the Padres fall short against the Dodgers? How will they fix that with three games coming up this weekend again at Petco Park?
Well, let's start by not getting behind 5-0 in the first inning in the last two games.
That's, good start.
Yeah, that would be a good place to start. But I thought overall, and I'm not going to overreact to it, I thought the Padres did a less than stellar job in the batter's box in that series. And I thought that they swung at too many balls, and I thought they took too many strikes. And they obviously, they're normally pretty good at doing just the opposite, the Padres. It's something that's been, part of their DNA for the last few years. But for whatever reason, maybe they're a little anxious, trying to make too much happen. But, especially I thought Glasnow and Blake Snell, you got to wait those guys out a little bit more. So I think just, getting back to being patient, doing what you do best, and obviously, maybe the fact that you're down 4-0 in the first inning is why everybody was being too, aggressive and trying to make too much happen.
It's an interesting point, and I had not seen this stat before this last week, but you mentioned the Padres taking too many good pitches. Apparently, the Padres swing at the fewest quote-unquote meatballs in Major League Baseball. There's an actual stat for that, like middle fastball that the Padres actually let go. And it was, I thought it was very obvious watching that series. Yeah. The Dodgers did a much better job punishing mistakes in the zone than the Padres do. And that seems like that could be more than just a one series trend, that the Padres need to take advantage of those rare opportunities when the pitcher does make a mistake. They can't let so many of those go by. But
and ask Dylan Cease how good the Dodgers were at not swinging at balls. I mean, he was missing, but there was pitches he was missing very close too, and they weren't helping him out. And you know, this is what the Dodgers have always done well, and the Padres, I think, have done it well too. They're going to need to do that better.
Braden, what's your thoughts here? Because we know, you know, falling behind early means you're not getting as good of starting pitching as the other team. But we kind of knew the Dodgers had that advantage. We thought the Padres would be able to mitigate it with their bullpen, keeping it close and winning games late. But they never really gave themselves much of an opportunity.
No, they didn't. It just looked mental the whole time, the whole weekend. You know, like there was like a mental block taking on the Dodgers. Like, you know, they didn't play loose and free like they've done for most of the season. They played tight. They played stressed. They played like they had the pressure on them more than LA did. And that has been a recipe for the entire season against LA. I mean, that's how it looked like the last time they're in LA. That looked like the last time they were here in San Diego. There seems to be this mental block that I thought they eradicated before last year's playoffs, because it seemed like it last year watching the Padres almost dominate the Dodgers during the regular season. So I thought last weekend was overall, from everybody, I don't think there was really too many. I mean, Ramon Laureano played pretty well, but aside from that, top to bottom, coaching staff, players, pitchers, bullpen, it just looked like they were way more stressed out playing in that series and made it more than it needed to be for a professional organization that probably, if they just stuck to what they know and saw a different jersey on the other team, they probably would have been fine.
You know, they we often make the point that you can't overhype one particular series, but the Dodgers certainly seem to, the way they've played lately, seems like they only care about the games against the Padres and not against anyone else. It doesn't seem to hurt them.
Worry about the Angels a little bit.
Right. Worry about the Rockies a little bit. No, they only play well against the San Diego Padres. I'd be worried if I was a Dodgers fan knowing, well, we can't play the Padres every day of the week. We still have to face these intimidating Rockies and Angels. Matt Scraby, what do you think?
Didn't the Padres do that last year? Like, they beat up on the good
Dodgers
teams, and they could not beat any of the bad teams, and we were like, well,
they got swept by the Angels and the Rockies.
At least those teams aren't going to be in the playoffs, and we don't have to worry about them then.
Dodgers have the same theory this year. Matt Scraby, what do you think Padres need to do differently this time around against the Dodgers?
First, I want to know how many of those meatballs that they're missing are Luis Arraez statue takes.
I'm sure that a number of them are. One every at bat.
I know that bothers you.
One every at bat.
I think that they need to go in and just play their game. For whatever reason, it did seem like they maybe overhyped things, and I'm pretty happy that this happened where it did in the season, because it probably woke them up a little bit. They said that they didn't play their game. They weren't running the base pass like they usually do. They were trying to steal. They were trying to force things, which isn't necessarily the Padres' strong suit. They need to let the game come to them, and they say it all the time. But I think they just need to go in there, or go into Petco, I guess, and just play their game and don't try to do too much. And Chris is probably right. There was a little bit of panic trying to get back into the game because they were down so early, but just be them.
Paulie, what about you? You can wrap up our discussion on what you saw last weekend against the Dodgers and what needs to change.
Yeah, I don't like to speculate too much that like their heads just weren't in it or whatever, or maybe their heads were too much into it. We don't know how much they build up a series against the Dodgers internally. I would venture to guess that we as fans probably build it up more than the players do. But regardless, the results were kind of jarring to see. Like, it was Saturday was the one that got me. That was the one that, like, nearly would have broken me. I mean, Friday and Sunday's losses ultimately were one-run losses on the road against a really, really good team. And you can live with those. It was the self-inflicted six walks in the first couple of innings, getting thrown out three times in the first couple of innings trying to steal second. And we learned later that, you know, Snell has such a high percentage of stolen bases that they were trying to capitalize on that. But like three times in a row, you're like, guys, this isn't working. And it's really, really frustrating to watch. Jackson Merrill dropping the fly ball in center field. Yeah. Come to learn, he hurt himself on Friday night. Maybe that had something to do with it. I don't know. But like, you can handle, you can stomach those one-run losses where, you know, even if you get swept, it's not ideal, of course. But if it's a competitive ball game and, you know, Freddie Freeman hits a home run late in the game. Like, that's going to happen sometimes. I just hope that they can come back, and I really hope the pitching in particular can set the tone. And no, none of these big first-run innings. I think Yu Darvish is going tomorrow night against Blake Snell. So, like, you had Snell on the ropes last weekend. Like, let's try to get the knockout punch this weekend.
It's our 97.3 The Fan Padres Roundtable, presented commercial-free by San Diego Roundtable Pizza. It really is pizza royalty. And we were about to discuss Mike Schilt's lineups, and we just got one for today's game. It's similar to yesterday's, except Xander Bogaerts is back in at shortstop after getting a day off. He was a little beaten up from fouling some pitches off his leg, but no Jackson Merrill. Remains out of the starting lineup. This will be a fourth straight day. Makes you wonder whether they're going to have to make an injured list move for Merrill here momentarily. But Ryan O'Hearn will once again bat fourth. He'll be a designated hitter today with Arraez returning to first base. And Gavin Sheets will play left field and hit sixth for the Padres against the San Francisco Giants in the final game of the series. So, been a lot of talk about it this week on our airwaves with fans on social media. Optimizing the San Diego Padres lineup for the stretch run, and in particular against left-handed pitching. Chris, I'm going to again start with you because there was a clip that I saw yesterday that your frustration kind of boiling over with the commentary on Ryan O'Hearn versus Luis Arraez and who should be in there, especially against left-handed pitching, when Mike Schilt does have to make some very difficult choices in his lineup on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, this has been going on all week. And it started, you know, with the game, obviously, Monday night when Ryan O'Hearn was not in the lineup against a left-hander, which he hadn't been in the previous four times the Padres faced a left-hander. He only started 11 of 31 games in Baltimore against a left-handed pitcher. Everyone was crying about it. So I decided to look it up and see if, you know, there was a method to this. And I understand his OPS this year was similar, batting left-handed as to right-handed. But power-wise, he had one home run this year against a lefty. He had 14 against a righty. And in his career, 75 of his 81 home runs had come against right-handed pitching. So I pointed this out to him as a reason as to why maybe Mike Schilt wasn't going with him against the righty. Of course, he homered in a pinch-hitting role against the lefty. And now the floodgates have opened. Look, Ryan O'Hearn is a dangerous bat, and against right-handed pitching, he should be batting right where he is, cleanup. Against left-handed pitching, I think he's caught a hot streak here, but I think overall, I'm not taking Luis Arraez out of the lineup. I'm just not. So, you know,
what about Jake Cronenworth?
Sorry?
What about Jake
Cronenworth? Yeah, you could move. Do you want to weaken your defense? That is something Mike Schilt has to consider. There's ways he can get him in. I think Schilt can't manage every game like the seventh game of the World Series, the last 31 games. And I think O'Hearn's got to play most of them. But I'm not going to, you know, change everything around just for Ryan O'Hearn.
Matt, I think this one's a tough one because Luis Arraez is a critical member of the team, and he'll give you three hits in a game as easy as anyone. Leads Major League Baseball in three-hit games. But if he's not giving you a three-hit game, I just don't think he should be batting second, especially against left-handers in the Padres lineup, anymore. Do you feel like Mike Schilt needs to make some changes, especially with lefties on the mound?
I do. I think that you ride with the guys that get you to the point of this season, but at a certain point, you got to put the guys that are going to help you win more so than the guys that have gotten you there. I was looking through Luis Arraez's numbers this morning, and if he bats lower in the lineup, he still has success in his career. Obviously, it's not as much of a sample size. He's always hit leadoff, and now he's always hitting second. But if they were to move him down, maybe go down to fifth, put Xander at second, and still keep O'Hearn in there right now, I think that would help. I think Mike Schilt is kind of relenting a little bit to, hey, I need to go with the hot hand, because he has moved Laureano to center field, and now he has Gavin Sheets in the lineup, and they're hitting. So how can you sit Gavin Sheets and Ryan O'Hearn after home runs? So I think that he is starting to go in that direction, but I do think he needs to start going with the hot hand rather than the formula that got you here.
Isn't this discussion, not to interrupt, everything and give everybody a shot. But you're talking about taking a rise out against lefties so that Ryan O'Hearn can play first base. Isn't the discussion really whether or not to have O'Hearn be the DH against lefties and take out Iglesias, who has been the DH spot against lefties? There's room for both Arraez and O'Hearn in the lineup, even if Jackson Merrill is healthy. So I'm curious, do we think that Iglesias should play over Arraez?
Well, I think Iglesias has been very good against lefties for what he does. But I think what is so valuable is giving the day off for Manny or Xander and letting them DH for a day. And
you've been doing that all year.
You're actually increasing your defense with Iglesias out there, and you get a good bat into the lineup. So it's kind of a two-for-one against lefties when you do use Iglesias. I don't see Mike Schilt stopping that. Now, maybe in the postseason, you may not see Iglesias in that role, because you're not taking your regulars out in the postseason as much, and that would open up the door for Ryan O'Hearn to DH against lefties in the playoffs. But when you need to get through the regular season, you still need to find days for Manny to not be on his feet and get other guys into the lineup, and that's where Jose Iglesias is so valuable. Braden, you mentioned giving Jake Cronenworth days off against lefties, and again, that's valid as well. You know, Jake's on-base percentage has been incredibly valuable at the bottom of the lineup, and the point was made that with Luis Arraez not having played second in a while now, I mean, has he been out there at all this season?
Briefly the other night.
He was there,
That's right.
Yeah, briefly.
That's about it, though.
Yeah.
Are you giving up too much defensively by taking Jake out and putting just another lefty in there?
I don't think so, because last year Jake and Luis were one of the worst defensive players at second base in all of baseball, according to their metrics. So it's not like he is, you know, an insane defender at second base. I think a lot of people might disagree with that, but that's just But that's what the metrics were last year. To me, and the whole Ryan O'Hearn thing is, yes, he's not as good against lefties, but compared to everybody else that's in the lineup, he's a lot better than them. Against lefty, he's a lot better against lefties than those guys are, and so the logic doesn't make any sense. The Jose Iglesias thing does make sense, but to me, it's like, why not have Jose Iglesias in at second base on days against lefty and give Jake Cronenworth the day off and let Ryan O'Hearn hit? Ryan O'Hearn needs to be in the lineup every single day until he proves otherwise that he sucks against lefties, which we haven't really seen, and he's had a good year this year against left-handed pitching in terms of OPS and average and everything like that. It's not a drastic fall off. Now, if he was hitting under 200 against left-handers, be like, okay, this guy can't hit a lefty. Let's get him out of the lineup. But to me, it's like I don't understand him not playing every single day. The other thing I don't understand is I don't understand Luis Arraez batting second. I don't get it. I really don't. I think he should play. I think he should play every day. But him lower in the lineup is still an asset for you. Like we talked about on a couple roundtables ago, it really doesn't matter too much which way you skin it. But I'm going to tell you right now, like you have a Luis Arraez batting seventh in your order, your order's probably pretty good. You have Xander Bogaerts batting seventh in your order, it's probably pretty good. Jake Cronenworth batting eighth, probably pretty good. And I'd like to see guys like Laureano move up and O'Hearn move up. And I wouldn't even mind seeing, as inconsistent as he has been this year and injured, I still wouldn't mind seeing Jackson Merrill bat second behind Fernando.
I don't disagree, but I feel like Tatis is going to be first and Manny's going to be third in most lineups. So if you want to go righty-lefty-righty, who do you replace Arraez with? Who's the lefty? Do you really want O'Hearn? Merrill moving up, but he's not only has he been hurt, but he hasn't been that productive all season. You could put O'Hearn there.
He doesn't really project
necessarily as a two-hitter, but
are you
that would
afraid
be the other
as a
option.
Pitcher with O'Hearn on deck with Fernando on base? Or are you afraid of Arraez? Like to me, like let's think about it from a perspective of Fernando gets on, right? Then you got Arraez up, and as a pitcher, I know he's going to swing at anything in the same zip code as the plate. And how many times has he swung when Fernando tries to steal second? And then he gets himself out. Or, you know, Fernando gets thrown out. Or Luis Arraez hits into a double play. Or, I mean,
you're talking like Ryan O'Hearn can't hit into a double play.
No, I'm not. Luis Arraez does not scare me as the number two hitter. Luis Arraez scares me with multiple runners on base in a situation where a single is going to score people. A single for Luis Arraez with just Fernando on base is probably not going to score Fernando. And therefore, as a pitcher, you wouldn't be as afraid to throw to Arraez with him as number two. I'm talking about protection for Fernando.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more. With a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360, you can potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free and give now or over time by donating cash, publicly traded securities, or non-cash assets like real estate and crypto. With over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together, DAF Giving 360 can help you make a greater impact. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I do think you have to be unafraid to give Luis Arraez a few more days off, and by that
I agree.
Then you get to pick the situation where he comes up and can do his most damage by making contact as a pinch hitter.
Has he had any days off?
Not really. He's had as few as anyone, I think, this season. What about Gavin Sheets though, Paulie? It's hard enough to find him a spot against a righty. Much less a lefty. There's really no spot for him against left-handers. Is there a spot for him against right-handers in the Padres lineup? And who are you taking out of the lineup to try to get him? Once Jackson Merrill is healthy, is there any way to get Gavin Sheets some more at-bats, especially while he's really hot right now?
Yeah, I mean, that could be your DH. And then when Merrill's healthy, you go Laureano, Merrill, and Tatis in the outfield and give, you know, Arraez that much-needed day off that we've been talking about. It sounds like I don't value Arraez as high. Like, I value O'Hearn this year, and in particular like this moment of this year, like he's got the hot hand, he should be getting more at bats. I think Arraez, like, of all the positions on the field, we're talking second base and first base, like, I think O'Hearn's a better first baseman than he is defensively. I think Cronenworth and Iglesias are both better than him defensively. He's kind of just become a DH who I think is better fit in the bottom third of the order right now, just the way he's hitting and the way the production has been every time Fernando gets on, like we were just alluding to. It's gets a great jump, stolen base. Louis can't see him because he's over his right shoulder, and he swings and fouls one off, and Fernando has to go back. We've seen that time and time again. Fights off, you know, works a nine pitch at bat. Great. Flips a left a fly ball in the left field, and it's an easy
sacrifice. You guys keep talking
fly.
Like whoever bats second, other than the Rise, is going to make it get a hit or a double every time up. It's you guys are being ridiculous. I know the world has changed, but you're trying to take out of the lineup a guy who, when the dust settles.
No. We're not trying to take him out of the lineup. We're trying to move him down in the order. We're not trying to take him out of the lineup.
Oh, just sounds
Luis Arraez
sounds
should
like,
start every single day, but he should not be batting second. It's frustrating to watch.
I mean, in terms of Ben's specific question of how to get like Gavin Sheets in there, that's probably one of the fewer lanes available right now with a full healthy outfield, is that's probably the day off if you are looking for some pop. I also think Gavin Sheets is a great bat off the bench maybe come in and give you a pinch hit, you know, try to get you that big swing. But right now, like, I just think you acquired an all-star at the trade deadline. You gave up whatever six prospects
pieces
to get him, and for him to not get regular everyday at bats was frustrating for a while. I know he's what, three straight games now, including today.
Merrill being hurt has helped.
Merrill's hurt, so they have to move some things around. I just look, you don't have, I understand the lefty-righty splits, you don't have eight guys on the bench where you can have, all right, this is our left-handed lineup, this is our right-handed lineup. Some guys like Fernando, Manny, Xander, they're going to hit every single day. They're in the lineup, lefty or righty, it does not matter. And I think right now, Ryan O'Hearn, the guy that you went out to go and provide you with some slug and some pop, he's got to be one of those guys.
Well, I feel like Gavin Sheets is, again, when everyone's healthy, he's just the odd man out on this team. Because you have, against righties, Ryan O'Hearn has to be in there. I think we all agree that, whether it's a DH or at first base. If you want to put in Gavin Sheets in the outfield, are you taking Tatis out? No. Are you taking Laureano out? No, you didn't acquire Laureano to not play him almost every day, which means there's just no spot for a healthy, you know, if everyone's healthy, for Gavin Sheets.
What does A.J. Preller need to do? What does this team need? We need a left fielder, we need a catcher, and we need a bat, either first base or DH. He went out and got all of them, and we're only using two of them.
Well, the reason we're talking about this, it's our 97.3 The Fan Padres Roundtable, presented by Roundtable Pizza. It really is pizza royalty, is that the one deficiency that seemingly everybody has been pointing out lately for the Padres, especially heading into the postseason, is their lack of power. And Tom Verducci wrote about it this week. You know, Sarah's talked about it with us this morning on our show. ESPN was writing about it as well. Teams that have success in the playoffs, that win the World Series in the last decade, since the Kansas City Royals kind of punched and judied their way to a title, they all have gotten home runs consistently in the playoffs. The Padres are 29th in home runs, but that was before mostly the trade deadline. Now with the new acquisitions with O'Hearn and Laureano, have the Padres, Matt Scraby, addressed their power issues, do you think, satisfactorily heading into the potential postseason?
Yes, I do, because they've been getting the result that they wanted when they traded for these guys. Laureano's hit more home runs than I think we thought he would hit, and Ryan O'Hearn all of a sudden came out of nowhere. But I do, to defend Chris a little bit, I do think it's kind of crazy that Ryan O'Hearn did not hit left-handed home runs pretty much his entire career. And then he comes to San Diego and he's hit like three or four. And so I think that's a little weird. But they have, to me, addressed it, because if Manny can get the power going, I mean, you always got Fernando that could start hitting. I don't know when it's going to happen, but you know he's got the ability to do it. So I think that they do have the power that they wanted. And Jake Cronenworth, you know, he's been hitting better lately. He doesn't necessarily hit home runs, but he does lead the league in triples every single year. So there is a lot of good things happening in this lineup right now in the power department.
Chris, do you at least buy the argument that power is almost essential now to be successful in the postseason? And if so, do the Padres have enough of it now post-trade deadline?
I don't think they can win the World Series sitting back and hoping that power will take them there. But I think they have enough to stay in every ballgame. And, you know, if you can get to the sixth inning, I think they're going to win most postseason games, because I do think they have one of the best bullpens that we've ever seen. I would love to be at least in the middle of the pack in power. I think the addition of Laureano and O'Hearn has helped. But no, I don't think that they're going to – they're not going to 27 Yankees their way to the World Series. They're not even going to 24 Dodgers themselves to the World Series. I mean, the Dodgers beat us also last week because we had 11 extra base hits to their five. But all five of theirs were home runs. Nine of ours were doubles. I don't know. I'm struggling to get past our last conversation. I wanted to give everybody a shot. But I just want to remind everybody, we're not talking about a team, unless I missed something when I went to sleep and woke up today, that is 11 games out of a playoff spot. They're one game out of the division. I don't know that we have to change the entire world around for the last 30 games. They've been playing great since the trade deadline. Everyone's contributing. Everyone goes 0 for 4. I just don't see a need to change everything around, and I don't want to go back to the same argument.
The world's burning, though. I think we're talking really about – I think it's more – Ryan O'Hearn's name is being thrown out there and a lot of other guys like Iglesias and Sheets, but I think the conversation is really centered on Luis Arraez in the two-hole. That's the conversation that I've been seeing a lot of. He's just – can you get better optimization of your lineup by moving just a couple of things around, like Louis down and moving somebody else up?
I think this is the moment, because I wanted to bring this up. And we've got a group of colleagues and friends up here. And I feel like this man right next to me, Chris, has been struggling a little bit this week.
I'll give it to him.
I want to talk about that, because the Padres have never been more popular in this town. That means more fans, more people listening to 97.3 The Fan, which is great. The passion is unbelievable. But fan, of course, is short for fanatic. And is it possible? I want us to kind of discuss this, because we've seen the passion maybe get a little out of hand at times. Is it possible to be both passionate, a giant fan of your team, but also be reasonable about it at the same time? Braden, I mean, can you be a passionate, diehard, crazy fan, but also remain very level-headed about your team without getting a loss of perspective?
I want to say no, because I've seen that with my other friends and their other teams. And I think the biggest notice I notice it the most is when huge Chargers fan, they leave, and then all of a sudden you take the fandom out, and then you watch their teams, and you're like, how did I ever think this team was ever going to win? It didn't make any sense. And then I see the same thing with my friend who's a Cowboys fan. They can do no wrong ever, and as I watch from afar, I'm like, what is this perspective here? Like, there's no way you can buy into this. Now, with the Padres and Padres fans, like, as a Padres fan, like, you start there's a little bit of the things that you know are a problem. You start to phrase like, well, you know, maybe it's not as big of a problem. Maybe we can overcome said problem. You start thinking about it from the hope and the positive standpoints, I think, a lot. And I also think the same thing is this for negativity.
Yes.
I think there's a lot of times where Padres fans, and myself included, get extra negative because of past circumstances or past events where you're like, there's no way this is not going to end tragically, because it's always ended tragically. So I think it's hard to stay reasonable when you're in it and you're part of the fan base and you're living and dying on every pitch. So I want to say it's very difficult to do.
Well, I think Chris brings up a lot of very well-reasoned points about Ryan O'Hearn. I mean, extremely well-reasoned. In fact, no one's reinventing the wheel when it comes to, hey, let's bat our lefties against righties and our righties against lefties mostly. That's baseball lore from the beginning of baseball time. But I do sense that there are more Padres fans, as you mentioned, Braden, negativity. Maybe, Matt, you're seeing it in the afternoons.
We see a lot
where
of negative stuff.
The level of concern and criticism has ramped up to levels that I don't know that we've ever seen before. And it's for a team that, as Chris pointed out, is actually quite good right now. I mean, one of the better Padres teams we've seen in franchise history.
They're a game out of first place from the Dodgers on August 21st. I mean, like, we forget about that sometimes.
I know, and I have massive issues with the way people use social media sometimes, because it's not as important as all of these people are making it. I mean, I got some DMs today, like, or this week, just ripping our show for even being on the air because Chris wanted Ryan O'Hurt. He was just explaining some numbers. And so I think that there is a way to be a passionate fan and also be normal at the same time. It's not hard to me to love your team and cheer for your team, and then if things don't work out, be like, oh man, that stunk, I gotta move on to the next day or whatever. Now, if this was the playoffs, different story. But I think people need to chill out. I ranted on Monday about the people that are acting like the world is ending because they lost to the Dodgers. This team isn't good anymore. They're not going to the playoffs. The season's over. Like, get over it, people. It's not that important.
I did.
And it's not real.
I did see somebody tweet out, like, oh, like Braden said on the show, everybody be calm. And as I was reading that, I was texting my friends just insufferable things about how upset I was watching the series.
See, I think though, what you guys are kind of missing with the rants, as frustrating as it can be, is this is what we all dreamed of. I've been a Padres fan my whole life, and this level of passion, as sometimes it can be a little misplaced, but this level of passion is so much better than what it used to be, where there was no passion, that there was no fans in the stands, that no one cared at all about who was batting sixth in the lineup, because you're never going to see that guy again at the end of the season. He's some call up from AAA that's going to be gone and forgotten about in a month and a half when the season's over and you're watching the other teams play in the playoffs when you're once again home in October. So this is so much better than we used to have it. I tend to just appreciate the fact that, yes, it's going to cause some people to go nuts sometimes because they see it. The brass ring is now within reach. Will they actually grab it? I don't know. It's really hard to win a World Series because only one out of 30 teams gets to do it every year. So the odds are always in favor of disappointment and heartbreak and tragedy at the end of the year. And that's hard to take, knowing that ultimately you're probably going to end really, really disappointed. But it's way better than knowing your odds are essentially zero at the start of the season every year. And that's what it used to be here.
Quick, I know everybody else got to go, but we did say that. This is the top of our job right now because the Padres are so good and that the fans are so passionate that this is way better than when they were losing every single year. It's just like in the chat sometimes, are you like people just don't listen? People just don't.
They don't have to.
They don't.
It's not their job. Their job is to be fans.
I get
and
it.
Be unreasonable at times.
But why are you arguing and calling people names on a point that was already made like 5 minutes before?
You forget. You're not a person, Matt. You're a character on the radio.
That's right.
You're a character on the radio, Braden. You're a character on the radio.
This week has
Chris.
Been tough on our show.
It's not personal. They're attacking your characters on the radio.
I'm sure
if they met you in person, they'd find you very reasonable and very pleasant.
Somebody
Chris.
Thought I was the kid that ran on the field the other day. I thought that was hilarious.
That was funny. They basically said, I'm looking at this video. I'm hoping Braden will be on his show tomorrow.
Man, I got better moves than
that. Let me just cap the Ryan O'Hearn versus Luis Arraez argument with one more statistic.
Are you capping it for real?
That can drive every... Yeah, I don't know. But I'm going to throw this in with this statistic so everybody can get madder at me because I really, at this point, don't mind. Luis Arraez has hit more home runs against left-handed pitching this year than Ryan O'Hearn has. I'm just
going
to throw that in there.
We're
one last little dig to everybody that wants to, you know, to argue this for the rest of time.
I do know that Padres fans, if Luis Arraez goes out and has four straight two- or three-hit multi-hit games, which he does sometimes, you're not going to want him anywhere other than, you know, somewhere in the top two in your lineup because what he is capable of doing, he's won three straight batting titles. He has a skill set that is, you know, pretty much unmatched at the top level of baseball.
We go over this all the time. Batting titles is your batting average, which we've all learned is not as weighted as it used to be.
Don't disparage batting titles in this town, Paulie.
I understand. I understand.
Paulie, but it, you know, is a single and a walk
like, when was the last time Luis Arraez drove in runs like consistently?
And a walk are the same thing when no one's on base. I get that. And bat on base percentage is just as important. But being able to put a ball in play even if it's sometimes for an out, is a very, very valuable skill in baseball. And that is something that Luis Arraez does as well as anyone. Now, yeah, I get frustrated too when I see bases loaded and that flip-out fly ball to left field that he does do a lot. He's trying to, of course, hit the line drive.
Ball in the right-handed batter's box.
He does many times, and, you know, he gets a hit on the ball in the right-handed batter's box and doesn't swing at the one right down the middle. It can be a bit of a maddening watch over the course of the season. But at the same time, that you've got no one who is more consistently going to be able to hit line drives and get base hits than Luis Arraez is going
it's
to be able to
so
do.
It's just so weird. For me, this is just me personally, I guess. Like, I really like Luis Arraez. I know his value, pretty much since he got traded to the Padres, has been debated, at least. Like, what's his worth? What does he bring to your team? I really like Luis Arraez. I think he's a good teammate, and I think he's a great player. But, like, I just don't have a lot of confidence in him right now with runners on base that he's going to drive them in, and that's kind of important in the two hole. And I don't have a lot of that confidence this season.
You know what's interesting is I think that one of the reasons I was willing to go so out on a limb Monday about Ryan O'Hearn and defending Mike Shildt, which I don't often do, by the way, but I did on Monday, is because I just assumed nobody was really cared about the team anymore, because what I read Sunday night was that the season was pretty much over and people were ready to move on to the next thing since they got swept by the Dodgers. I bring this up because that goes back to your point about the word fanatic. Everybody pretty much gave the season up Sunday night, but when we woke up Monday morning, it was back to work, and that's how this all works. And you're absolutely right, Ben. I wouldn't have it any other way, because we've had it the other way, and that wasn't fun.
I think ultimately my solution would be Ryan O'Hearn's in there against righties every day. Give him about half the starts against lefties. Mix him up. He puts together really good at-bats. Can anyone deny Ryan O'Hearn's at-bats are very impressive?
He's like an 8-9 pitch at-bat guy.
That 10 pitch at-bat in the first inning last night that resulted in the RBI single, that was a really impressive at-bat. So, you know what? I do want to see him get at least more chances. And Mike Shildt notices those at-bats, too. We're not the only ones who are seeing it. He's also, I guarantee you, really impressed by what Ryan O'Hearn is doing. All right, it's 10:35. We're about two-thirds of the way through our show. So
Sorry, Ben.
No, it's all right.
One last thing about Arraez.
I can't get past Ryan O'Hearn. We're all going to find out. We're all going to find out exactly where he stands in the mind of Mike Shildt tomorrow night.
Yep.
Because this will be the first time since all of this started that they'll be facing a left-handed starter.
But he better be in the
lineup. Interesting to see what Mike Shildt does.
You know, and now I'm going to go on my rant.
Okay.
Because I saw people the last 2 days going, Ryan O'Hearn just proved he should be in there. No, he's in there against righties because he's always going to be in there against righties.
Right.
You have to remember that giving him a day off against a lefty makes some sense sometimes. If you're going a streak of like 9 straight games against righties and there's one lefty in there, that's a perfect day to give Ryan O'Hearn the day off. It doesn't even mean he's not an everyday player. So he could be out of the lineup against Blake Snell knowing he'll be in there against Glasnow and in there against Yamamoto on Saturday and Sunday. You just want to have, hey, a normal chance to one day a week get him out of the lineup. So we actually won't know anything at all, until probably
later in the
season. You
don't even know if Merrill's playing or not.
All right, so let's we need a little break here. So our Roundtable Pizza Roundtable, brought to you by San Diego Roundtable Pizza. It really is pizza royalty. Time for the seventh inning stretch. Yesterday, I don't do it often, but I had to stop by 7-Eleven, needed to pick up some Gatorade, a little hydration for the family. And it used to be when I went to 7-Eleven as a kid, it was like almost as good as a trip to Disneyland. Like, if you got to go to 7-Eleven as a kid and you had like $5 in your pocket, it was nirvana. It was bliss. And I don't do it much anymore, but as I was walking through the aisles, I thought, what a great seventh inning stretch question. So today's question, Matt Scraby, you can start us off. You got $5 in your pocket, really any age you want to be. You get to pick whatever junk food item you want from the shelves, candy, anything you want, drink. What are you getting at 7-Eleven with your junk food money?
Well, this is a great question because I go to 7-Eleven nearly every single day. And
I'm sure you get things responsible when you're there now, though.
Yes.
What's the irresponsible choice?
The irresponsible choice is I love the Mamba Berry. or Tropic. Mamba is like a little chewy thing.
Stick thing.
I love the Mamba. If I'm going to get some sort of candy, it's going to be Mamba or the Airhead Bites what I'm going to get. And I probably could fit both of those in under $5.
Pull your teeth out, kind
of. My teeth are okay, but I would go definitely number one choice would be Mamba, Berry, or Tropic.
All right, Braden, $5 in your pocket. What's your junk food of choice from 7-Eleven?
If I get two things at 7-Eleven, I used to do this for like before kind of high school football games, not as a player, but now as a coach. But like, it's either Reese's or if they have it, peanut butter Snickers, which is basically like a Reese's anyway, and a blue Gatorade. The light blue Gatorade is my Gatorade of choice. So those two
Glacier
items.
Freeze?
Huh? Yeah, the freeze. Oh, yeah, for sure. If I got to go with the Frost one, you know, maybe, or the Cool Blue, you know, that's secondary choice, but the Glacier Freeze for sure, and some Reese's or peanut butter Snickers if they have them.
All right, Paulie, what's your junk food of choice from 7-Eleven?
Well, as a kid, I mean, like riding your bike in the summer to 7-Eleven, nothing hit better than the Slurpee.
Right.
Of course.
I don't really get them anymore, but those were like the go-tos. There was just nothing like it. I think right now I'm a big, I like the gummy candy.
Oh, yeah.
And I like, for 7-Eleven specifically, because a lot of that stuff you can get at, you know, any convenience store or grocery store, I like the 7-Eleven, the blue gummy sharks.
The 7-Eleven brand,
wow. The generic, whatever, like the gummy sharks. Oh, I love those.
All right, I'm actually a big fan of gummy candy as well, but usually we think nostalgic, like what was our favorite as a child. I think my favorite gummy candy was actually invented just in a few years. I love, and I don't let myself have them very often, but Nerds gummy clusters, which are the little circle gummies, with the Nerds around them.
Those are dangerous.
And then I always used to swirl the cherry and cola together, so you could have the cherry Coke Slurpee. Was definitely my go-to as a kid.
Smart.
Chris, 7-Eleven junk food of choice.
Well, I see Scrapey at our 7-Eleven up the street, so I go almost every day and get a big gulp. I think it's funny, I was thinking of this yesterday, that I get the super big gulp, which is the second to largest size. Because I guess for some reason in my mind, the double big gulp is just too much.
Double gulp.
Right, the double gulp. That's just
too
much.
Be reasonable.
So, yeah, right. Be reasonable. I only get the 44-ounce super
You don't have,
gulp.
Like, the plastic cup that looks like a garbage can with a handle.
The bucket.
But if I'm going to do junk food, which I don't do hardly anymore, when you said $5, that threw out getting a thing of Ben and Jerry's and just taking it back with a spoon and eating it. That's way over $5 now. But I would say, peanut M&M's I've always enjoyed.
Peanut butter? Peanut?
I like the peanut butter M&M's too. They're similar to the Reese's pieces. But I did also think of the strangest and I think probably the wackiest and worst for you item that I have bought in the past that I still think is under $5. A beef stick.
Oh, I love those
big long sticks.
The one with Slim the cheese Jim. In there. Give me some of those.
Slim Jims are too oily for me. I like the
beef stick.
Whatever they want, you
stick
know.
Of beef for Chris.
Stick of
like
Chris
just walks. Giving my dog
beef stick.
I mean, that's terrible to even admit. But
they have healthier versions. They have organic ones of those,
especially
now.
When they're packaged with the cheese.
It's a good source of protein there, Chris.
I remember when I was a kid, they first came out with like big gulps and super big gulps, and people were so horrified by how large they were.
Yeah.
Now it's fairly common, so you can see where we've gone as a society.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Donor-advised funds from DAF Giving 360. Your clients can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or appreciated assets like real estate. It's a simple, tax-smart way to give. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, I want to move on to a broader topic here in the last 10 minutes or so.
Does it involve Luisa Rise or Ryan O'Hearn?
It shouldn't, at least. I don't believe it. It involves Rob Manfred, the commissioner of baseball, who said last Sunday that geographic realignment is very much on the table in Major League Baseball, especially when they're expected to add two expansion teams and get to an even 32 clubs, which would allow you to divide 16 and 16 into two different leagues. But those leagues might not be the National and American League anymore. They might be more of a Western Conference and an Eastern Conference, like you see in the NBA or the NHL, to allow teams to have less travel during the year. Seen some potential realignment structures that would involve four-team divisions like the Padres, Angels, Dodgers, and Diamondbacks in a division based on geography. Chris, this would be a fairly large sea change. You could end up with the Yankees and Mets in the same division, the White Sox and Cubs in the same division as well, fundamentally changing baseball as we've known it for over a century. What are your thoughts on potential geographic realignment of Major League Baseball?
I'll try to leave time for everybody else. I'm fine with geographic realignment as long as the National League teams stay in the National League. I can't do it. I can't go past 100 plus years of there's some tradition has to be hung on to, something. And if the Yankees play the Red Sox in the World Series, it just won't work for me. I'm sure I'd eventually get used to it. I'm sure I would watch it. But I can't take the American and National League away after all this time.
No, there has been changes. Teams have switched leagues over the years. And I don't think the Yankees and Red Sox would meet. But you could have, you know, the Dodgers and Mets meeting in the World Series. Or you could have the Padres meet the Marlins in a World Series.
I can't do that.
On opposite sides of the country.
I can't do that. So I'm willing to give you whatever geographic realignment, but I can't do that. And the second thing, just to go to your division realignment of Dodgers, Padres, Angels, Diamondbacks, makes sense. But I would really be shocked if baseball ever split up the Dodgers and the Giants, because they have been one and the same for over 100 years. Everything's on the table, though, I guess. I mean, we've already seen all the rule changes, but I can't let you wipe out the National and American League.
Braden, what about you? Does this make sense in terms of player safety, less travel, the grueling schedule, that if you did have less games where you had to go across the country, that would be a good thing for baseball?
I think it makes sense. I think if they wanted to do the geography version, it would make sense to have four divisions. It'd probably be better just to have two divisions in each side of the bracket, kind of like you know, like hockey does or something like that. I agree with Chris. I think if you're going to move things around, and I think this is all, you know, impending a Nashville team and a Salt Lake City team, and they've talked about expansion, and obviously you are going to have to rearrange things if you have 32 teams. I think the versions that I've seen out on the internet where it's still the American League and it's still the National League and you mix up some of the divisions in terms of location, I think is the best compromise for that.
But keep in mind, that's not what Rob Manfred wants. He wants to especially avoid situations where, like, the Red Sox have to come out to Seattle to play a wild card series that then starts at 10 o'clock Eastern, you know, and their fans are not getting, you know, not getting good ratings. It all comes down to TV ratings. So you'd really have to split them up if you wanted to do what Rob Manfred is saying he wants to do with his realignment.
Yeah, with the playoffs. He's just worried about the playoffs, right? Because they want everybody to play everybody every year anyway.
But it would be all Eastern teams in one half of the playoffs and mostly all Western teams in the other half of the playoffs until they'd eventually meet in the World Series, but that doesn't mean it's going to be a National League team against an American League team in the end, which Chris
I agree with Chris. Kind of crazy. I don't like it. I mean, I get what he's saying. I mean, obviously, it's very lucrative from a money standpoint. I understand where he's coming from, but I wouldn't like it either. I agree with Chris. You know, seeing the Mets play the Padres in the World Series, which would be sick if the Padres in the World Series. But aside from, like, Dodgers Mets in the World Series, it would bother me. You know, I agree with Chris too, that you have to keep something traditional in the sport of baseball.
What's Manfred going to do if the Red Sox play the A's in the World Series? Now you're going to have an East team versus a West team. I mean, it's going to happen eventually.
But that's the World Series. That'll start at 4 o'clock Pacific, 7 o'clock Eastern, like it always does.
I got to stop Rob Manfred here, man. He's too many martinis before he interviews Corey Seager. He's changed everything. It's been okay.
I don't mind.
I think it's getting good to him now, and it's too much.
I don't mind the realignment in order to make the 32 teams happen with some of the divisions changing, but I know that's not really what he wants, but you know, there might be maybe players like that, and that's a carrot they're dangling for the next CBA.
But Paul, you know, they talk about the tradition of baseball. There is no more real leagues. They're just leagues in name only. Yeah. It used to be the National League had its own president, its own rules. The American League had its own president, its own rules, its
own umpires.
Yeah, it was all different. Now, with the amount of interleague play happening every single day of the baseball season, with one unified set of rules governing everything, with one set of umpires that goes all around baseball, there really is no National and American League anymore. It's just how we line up the teams in divisions. Is it time to take that final step and just erase them completely?
Yeah, I'm fine with it. I don't care. I just don't care. Like, I know this has been a big topic, and everyone's got their projections of what the divisions could look like. And I'll admit, like, when I saw an Eastern division of, like, the Mets, Yankees, Phillies, and Red Sox, I'm like,
what a toxic division.
Those teams will kill each other. Like, yes, give me that drama. I don't really feel passionate one way or the other. I think you're still going to face every team through the regular season. This is all centered for the playoffs. I like the Eastern and Western. I think the more I think about it in baseball, I do think I appreciate, like, how the NBA does it, where you have the Eastern Conference, the Western Conference, and yeah, those teams will still have to, like, cross the country to play each other during the regular season, but it does make for a much smoother playoff format with television and all that. You got the East Coast teams will go at 4, the West Coast teams go at 6:30 or whatever, but like you said, Ben, I mean, interleague play, I don't really hear people even say it anymore, because it used to mean something. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't feel different.
You know what it means right now, though? It means that the Dodgers and Padres don't get to play in September. There's way too much interleague play.
Well, they played in
but
September
I believe
last year.
That the interleague play is here to set the stage for what you're talking
that
about.
That was just an error by the scheduling. They played, like, the last week of the year last year when the Padres found the triple play.
I don't think there's not... There doesn't need to be more divisional games. We used to play 19 divisional games. It felt like too much. It felt like you never stopped playing your division. So they lowered it down to 12 or 13, which is the right amount. You could just space them out a little bit.
Going back-to-back weeks is kind of ridiculous.
You just didn't make a great schedule this year, but I don't think you have to fundamentally change it.
How are you going to put them back-to-back weeks and not on Sunday night baseball even?
How about this, Matt? Because I think you're like me in that you want them to make things at least as fair as possible, at least on paper. It's not really fair that the Houston and Astros have to be in the same division as the Seattle Mariners.
Yeah, yeah.
And they have to make that trip multiple times every single year when they could be in a much more reasonable geographic division with teams that are a lot closer. But because of the historic way the National and American League lined up, that's how they ended up having to be put together in the long run.
You know, you're right. I do like things to be fair. I'm fine with division realignment, but you got to keep the league somehow. I'm with Chris. I'm with Braden. I like tradition. I'm one of those people that loves when 200 years comes around. Oh, baseball's 200 years old type of thing.
But why, I guess, is like the only way I would push back. Like when the Padres go and play the Twins, that used to feel different. Like that used to feel like interleague play. There's different rules. Now it's just the Padres are playing the Twins. It means nothing.
I get it. I think maybe I'm a creature of habit, and it takes me a little bit to like to accept things. Like the pitch clock, I wasn't sure about, and now I love the pitch clock and some of the other. I love the ghost runner rule. I think that during the regular season's good, but the division realignment's fine. It's just like at least try to keep those rivalries alive. Like the Dodgers and the Padres, the Yankees, the Red Sox. I just want to keep some of that alive. The teams that have been playing for ever.
Last couple of minutes here. It's our 97.3 The Fan Padres Roundtable, presented commercial-free by San Diego Roundtable Pizza. It really is pizza royalty. Won't have time for everyone to comment on this, but does anyone have any thoughts on the report this morning out of The Athletic, Andrew Marchand, that ESPN is very close to a deal to take over the MLB TV services, and in specifically, the five teams that are being produced now by MLB TV, including the Padres, will become an ESPN property in the future. So ESPN producing and perhaps streaming with their new platform, Padres Baseball, going forward. Did you hear about this, Chris? Any thoughts? Braden, you got some thoughts?
Well, I heard about it.
As long as it gives the Padres money, that's better than just subscription fees. I'm all for it. I mean, it's inevitable at this point. And honestly, like them all being on ESPN's new platform makes it probably easier for a lot of people. I'm like Chris. Satellite is and cable is a superior product. The only thing that was going with streaming was it was cheaper. Now it's more expensive. It's you know, I don't think it's even as great of a product. But anyway, I think it's going to be easy to access.
The day that Robert Suarez goes into the windup with two outs in the ninth inning and my screen buffers is going to be the last time I watch that ESPN streaming thing. But I know I have no choice.
Some of us work for ESPN.
My cable comes through streaming now, though. It's not, I mean, it's no different.
That is true.
That's all coming over the internet at this point. So I don't know what's different. I think Braden makes a good point, Paulie, that, you know, if ESPN's money makes a difference for the San Diego Padres, that's a good thing for Padres fans.
Yeah, I mean, this is all so fresh and still so far away that we don't really know what it's going to look like. It sounds like, though, it can only be good, right? I mean, it can only bring more money for the Padres.
It can't be all good. I'm sorry to interrupt because we're out of time, but if ESPN does this, they're going to charge a subscription rate to everyone to watch Padre baseball.
Well, you should already be paying for Padres baseball. It's just who you're paying.
That's true.
Well, Paul's right there.
It's part of my regular.
There is no free baseball. You can get ESPN anyway. You're so paying now you're for just going to get ESPN specifically.
But my point was, it's the MLB product that we have now. It's still Don and Mud. It's just going to say ESPN on their flag, Mike flag, instead of ESPN.
I can sum MLB. Up this entire hour as we wrap up in three words. People hate change.
Yeah.
And that's it for us. For Matt Scraby, Paul Reindl, Braden Soprenet, Chris Ello, I'm Ben Higgins. Enjoy the rest of the day. Enjoy Padres baseball. Braden's up next here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. So long, everybody.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Donor-advised funds from DAF Giving 360. Your clients can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or appreciated assets like real estate. It's a simple, tax-smart way to give. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.